The Lord be with you. If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everybody to our service of morning prayer today. And I'm just going to remind those who maybe haven't been back at church since all the lockdown situation that there are a few unusual things that normally happen that you may not be used to. Normally during our service, when the time for singing comes, we're not allowed to sing at the present time, but you'll find that the words of the hymns and songs will appear on the screen in front of you, and that's an opportunity just to reflect on those words, but we're not allowed to sing at the present time. You'll also see that the notices for the week to come are there ahead of us. You'll see that on Tuesday evening at 7:30, the annual vestry meeting takes place here in the church building at 7:30. It's the annual business meeting of the church, and it takes place in somewhat more unusual circumstances this year. So those who are members of the annual vestry, those who have registered as being vestry persons, are those who are invited to attend because, again, recognizing the challenges of distancing and the suggestions from Central Church about how that meeting is conducted, the annual vestry, 7:30 here in the church building on Tuesday evening. Wednesday evening at 8:00, our Alpha course continues over Zoom, and Thursday evening the parish prayer meeting takes place over Zoom at 7:00. Could I encourage people, again, if you haven't visited for a while, to check out the church website and Facebook page. You'll find lots of really good resources for the times that we're living in on those different platforms, on the website and the Facebook page. There's really helpful materials from the BB, from the Mothers Union. There are articles about prayer and Bible reading and self-care. So there are all sorts of really good and useful resources there on the parish website and Facebook page. We just wanted to direct your attention to those. And today's service, we're going to be thinking about finding joy and peace in challenging circumstances. And I feel that's a really good theme for the times that we're living in. So we're going to be thinking about finding joy and peace in challenging circumstances. And one of the ways that we try to do that is to focus our thoughts heavenwards. And that's what we're going to do in the words of our opening hymn today. The hymn, Fill Thou My Life, O Lord My God.
Thank you.
Our service today is the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together this morning to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we're going to respond to God's forgiveness as we hear the words of our next hymn, a hymn of celebration and praise. Jubilate, everybody. Our Bible reading this morning speaks of that call to be joyful no matter what we're facing. And it comes from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians, chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 1. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord. Dear friends, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Here ends our Bible reading. So as we think of that challenge to be joyful even in very difficult circumstances, at this point in our service, I'm going to hand over to a dear friend of mine who is no stranger to St. Finian's, but sadly she lost her battle with motor neurons disease in 2017. And the video that we're going to see was made in 2015. It's Canon Liz McElhenney, and she speaks of how faith made a real difference in her approach to living through very difficult times.
Hi, my name is Liz McElhenney. McElhenney, because I married a lovely Donegal man with that big long name. And I've been diagnosed with motor neuron disease. Very often, I think God prepares us in life for what he's bringing ahead. When I was a curate in Marilyn, I got friendly with a gentleman who later on in life was diagnosed with motor neuron. And in the end season of his illness, I used to visit him, and because he could no longer speak and because we were working on pointy-eyed letters, I just used to read it to him. And one of the passages I used to read was that lovely passage of, you know, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So I can honestly say that prior to that day and since that day, there has not been one day that has passed when I haven't got some particular word from the Word of God, or from people, or from a text. I'm not terribly courageous or brave, but I did know that this challenge was an expedition or a journey of faith. For so long, I have always encouraged others, saying, you know, God's grace will be sufficient. So God, each day has been sufficient. Some days, like the day I broke my arm because I turned too quickly and I had not got used to being careful of myself. And I remember saying, Lord, you know, I'm coping with motor neuron. I'm having to work in the parish and perhaps sooner than later probably leave. And this is a bit awkward now. I'm right-handed. And what I read that night was, I will uphold you with my powerful right hand. So that is just one illustration of the absolutely precise type of aids to faith. And I have a choice, as we all have, to believe that God is sufficient, to believe that, as Psalm 46 says, he is our refuge and our strength, and a very present help in time of trouble. And I actually have a sense of real peace that is beyond understanding. And I look at a little picture which I have on my wall, which my son drew it for me for Mother's Day. And the picture shows Jesus with the nail-pierced hand, holding a little lamb, tucked into his shoulder. And you know, I feel like that. And that's what he wants to do. Each one of us, he goes after us, he seeks us, as a shepherd seeks for the lost. So if I'm lost in pain or disease, or if I'm lost just because I haven't found him yet, don't be lost. You will be lost if you don't choose him. And I know if I had the same idea and didn't have Jesus in my heart, I'd be lost. I'd be frantic. Those things that I do not look forward to are parting with Cyril, my three sons, my grandchildren, my six precious grandchildren. I don't want to be parted from them. But because I know that they too love the Lord, I'll be with them. Again, we will meet. The fact that you know this is not setting a specific date, but there's a time factor. Do you know it's a great privilege to have a time factor? Because you have an opportunity to do, as I want this little chap to do, to glorify my Lord and Savior, who is my friend, who is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. There is no cure for MND, except what God may do. I haven't thrown away the golf clubs. But if not, I know that he is able to carry me through.
So as we think of the power of that faith that can carry us through difficult times, we're going to stand together to affirm it in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Our special collect prayer for today is a prayer that asks God for the gift of faith. Almighty and everlasting God, increase in us your gift of faith, that forsaking what lies behind, we may run the way of your commandments and win the crown of everlasting joy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we're going to share together in the second and fourth collects of morning prayer. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all our provided and do your will, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. During the season of lockdown, the bishop asked different worship leaders around the diocese to choose songs or hymns that meant something to them and to share them in a little video. And today's song was chosen by a worship leader in Hillsborough Parish, and it's a song that again speaks of the belief in God's presence and power even in difficult times in our lives. It's called "He Will Hold Me Fast."
Hello, I'm Alan from Hillsborough Parish Church, and I was asked to choose a worship song. So I've chosen "He Will Hold Me Fast," which I think is a Getty song. And it has anchors off, "Will Your Anchor Hold?" And I guess it just encourages me to remember that it is what God does for us in our faith, that it's all about Him, and that we don't have to earn our faith. And there's also a lovely line at the end of the last verse, which says, "He will hold me fast till our faith is turned to sight when He comes at last." And just the encouragement that we don't understand what's going on in these difficult times, but we have a God who does. So I hope you enjoy it. Thank you.
Yeah.
all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There's a lovely phrase in the opening verse of our Bible reading today in which St. Paul describes the Philippians as those he loves and longs for. And from those words, you can immediately sense the love and the affection that he has for this church, for this bunch of people that he has introduced to Jesus Christ. And it gives St. Paul such joy to see the way that they're continuing to meet and to support one another as a community, united through their faith in Jesus. And when I think about that phrase, about those he loves and longs for, I wonder what you would love and long for this morning. Maybe it would be some peace and joy as we come to this service, perhaps burdened by the news that we're hearing on a daily basis. And so this morning, just for a few moments, I want us to think about joy and peace, two things that St. Paul seemed to possess in abundance. And I want us to think about how we might attain these two things, peace and joy, in our lives in these very challenging days. But before I come to that, perhaps the starting point is to ask the question, what robs us of peace and joy? What robs us of peace and joy? And probably the biggest culprit is fighting and disagreement, whether that is on an individual basis or between groups or nations even. And so St. Paul's first plea in our Bible reading today is for unity in the church. And we need to watch very carefully our relations with other Christians, because whenever we disagree and fight with each other, it brings discredit to Jesus and to his church. And St. Paul wants the church, in spite of all its disagreements which might arise, to do what it can to make peace and to live in unity. And I think that's a really important word to ourselves, actually, in this season, to live at peace with one another. And I know that I have certainly, since coming to this church 11 years ago now, I've always been struck by the depth and the quality of relationships in our church. People care for and they look out for each other. And we've certainly seen that in a very powerful way, I think, in the last 6 months. But people care for and they look out for each other. And yes, we sometimes disagree over personal preferences with regards to worship, perhaps. But people try to respect those differences and they get on with things. And yet in a time of anxiety and stress, such as we're going through at the present time, the devil can sometimes seek to cause divisions and strife over things that, at the end of the day, aren't really all that important. So what I want to encourage us all to do, I'm speaking to myself as much as anybody else, is to be vigilant and to do all in our power to live and witness together in peace and with grace. And as St. Paul talks about his joy, and if you were here last week, you might remember that when he was writing about joy, we said it was not necessarily to do with material things or our outward circumstances. And that's a simple fact of human experience that I've sometimes witnessed in other cultures as well as our own, that we can see people living in the lap of luxury, and yet they can be desperately unhappy within. And while those who are in the depths of poverty can actually overflow with joy. And so St. Paul says, if we want to allow joy in, that really comes from Christ dwelling within us. And we need to remember that when St. Paul wrote these words, he was lying in prison and he was chained to a Roman guard. And as he wrote about his joy, he had almost certain death awaiting him. And yet in the midst of that, just as we saw in Liz's video this morning, in the midst of that, his joy came from knowing that nothing in those circumstances could take away the presence of Jesus from him. And he had a profound awareness also that this world was not his home. And he looked forward beyond this life to a new and fuller life with Christ. And so his joy came from knowing that not only was Christ with him in all things, but that he was in control of all that happened. And it would work eventually for good. So whenever we take things and ourselves too seriously, as I'm inclined to do sometimes, it's good to ask ourselves this question about our joy. If it is really good news that we've received into our lives, well, maybe we should allow our faces to show that to be the case. And so if joy comes from an awareness of Jesus' presence with us always, and the hope that lies ahead even beyond this life, what about the peace? What about the peace that we might all long for today? St. Paul's advice about peace is again quite simple. It's deceptively simple, because he speaks about laying down our worries. And the argument goes that if we want to worry less, well, then we need to pray more. If we want to worry less, we need to pray more. And as St. Paul speaks of the priority and the value of prayer in our daily lives, it's like there's nothing too great for God's power, and there's nothing too small for his fatherly love. And whenever we pray, we need to remember the love of God that ever desires what's best for us, even though we sometimes don't always understand his purposes at the time. And we need to remember the wisdom of God, which again alone knows what's best for us. And we need to remember the power of God, which alone can bring to pass what is best for us. And so those who pray with a perfect trust in the love and wisdom and peace of God will indeed find God's peace in their lives. And the way to peace is in prayer, to entrust ourselves and all that we hold dear to the loving hands of God. And of course, we all struggle to do this. I remember a former colleague of mine who later became a bishop speaking with me one time about problems that he had sleeping at night because he was so preoccupied with the difficult situations that his parishioners were facing. Sometimes it was serious illness or financial worries or relationship difficulties, and despite his best efforts to help them, things couldn't always, if indeed ever, be resolved in a straightforward way.
And he shared a lesson with me that somebody had showed him about writing people's names on a post-it note and sticking them on the cross as he went to bed at night. You see, he realized that he couldn't hold all these worries and anxieties and concerns about other people in himself. He needed to hand them over to someone bigger than him. And of course, as we go through this current situation with the pandemic, none of us know when the restrictions will ease. None of us know when we'll be able to travel freely again and to attend mass gatherings freely. But we need to pray, and we need to ask God to bring his healing and his wisdom to guide our scientists and our government leaders. And we also need to entrust things to him, as we do all in our power to keep ourselves and others safe by complying with all the guidelines. So I wonder, can we open ourselves in these challenging days to learning more about receiving through faith the gift of joy and peace through prayer and dwelling consciously in Christ, just as St. Paul urges us to do. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you today that our joy and peace are not dependent on our circumstances. And we thank you for the example of St. Paul and Liz, whom we heard from this day. And we thank you that they found joy and peace through living with you at the center of their lives. Help us to invest in that relationship ourselves, to soak our minds and our thoughts in the wisdom and hope and encouragement of the Scriptures. Thank you too for the gift of prayer in these challenging days, that we can lift those difficult situations in the world, in the lives of loved ones, and in our own lives to you. And so we pray that you'd help us to find joy and peace and meaning as we entrust all things to you, and we draw from the well of faith and your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us in all that we do. We ask it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We also want to pray today for the nations of the world. And we pray especially for the global economy at a time of uncertainty and fear. We pray that you would guide the leaders of government in wisdom. May they be given creative means and resources to support employment and guidance about measures to protect the public and keep them safe. We also want to pray at this time for consistent messaging between governments and their scientific and medical officers, so that all of us would be given clear measures to follow and that the infection rate would shrink. We also pray for focus and breakthrough in the search for a vaccine. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. And today, the day after World Mental Health Day, we pray especially for all who are struggling with their mental health at this time. We pray for the anxious and the fearful, for those suffering with depression as we think of those who are especially vulnerable. We pray for those who are homeless, those struggling with addiction, those who are separated from their families in hospitals and nursing homes. And in the quietness, we bring those on our hearts before you as we ask for your healing love to surround them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. And so as we think of that powerful gift of God's peace, that's the theme of our next hymn, as we hear the hymn, Like a Mighty River Flowing. So just before our final blessing, just a little reminder, please, to remain in your seats at the end of the service until the stewards indicate that we can leave, and then we make our way out either onto the lawn or to the car park where we can have a conversation and just not congest the entrance to the church. We bow our heads for God's blessing. May God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love. Defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Our closing hymn for today's service is the hymn Forth in the Peace of Christ We Go.